Now the Holy Jesus, the body of Christ is the people of God, and Jesus is the head of the church, the body of Christ. So when we yield to the head, you know, the Holy Spirit connects us to the head, and the Word of God connects us to the head. And if we take orders from Jesus and receive what he's saying, then we can operate as an extension of him. It's just like he reached out his hand to heal. When we lay hands on others, that's Jesus laying his hands on them. We're yielding. And through the anointing, he can heal people miraculously. Or through our faith. If we have the faith, and no doubt, he can do it without faith. But sometimes anointed people really don't have the faith. But they have a healing anointing. And if they just yield to the Lord and use that healing anointing, you know, people can get healed. Sometimes pastors say he has a healing anointing that works with the word of knowledge. And he said now, sometimes he feel the pain that other people feel. He said somebody's shoulder hurting. And two or three people might come up. Sometimes nobody come up. He said, well, come now. He said, if you come later, I can't do it. But if you come now, you'll be here. And people come and they get healed. People that wait, he said, if you wait, don't come. But he'll always pray by faith. But see, the anointing is God's ability to do it. It's perfect. We operate in and out of faith sometimes. But the anointing is stable when we're not stable. And that's why God gave us gifts to help us out. Think about it. We're designed to live forever, but our lifespan on earth is 120 years. So a lot of things we miss out on and don't mean to, but we do. Is Ruben still connected?
Yeah.
Okay. Something came up on the phone, called Ruben for video. Ruben there?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I don't know why my phone crazy, y'all. But the Lord loves us, and he loves everybody. And if we link to the head, we love people like Jesus loves us. See, that's the new standard. That's the new law that John gave. Love others like Jesus loved you. Jesus taught, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But John taught, love others like Jesus loved you. And see, that commandment had to come after Jesus died. That's one of the greater works that we would do because we believe. John believed Jesus. And he taught people to love like Jesus loves us. And Jesus told him to do that before he left. And he did. And it worked. The love of God is how we, that's how our faith works. That's how we grow from glory to glory, from understanding to understanding, from knowledge to knowledge. That's how we grow, the love of God. And that's how we fulfill the law. See, the law will tell you what not to do. But think about it. If you invite somebody to your house and you say, well, don't steal my forks and spoons and don't steal my pictures off the wall. You know, that's going to insult them because they're expected, you know, you expect people to just do what's right. Well, people that love you, there ain't no way they'll do that. But a criminal will. So that's like calling people a criminal. That's why God didn't want to give man a law in the first place. And when you study the word, he only gave man the law after they proved to be lawless. The law is to the lawless. And it's also useful to show man himself. If you try to do good and you can't, now you need a savior. And even if you try to grow and you have trouble growing, you still look to Jesus. And then he'll by the Holy Spirit, he'll show you what to change and how to do it. The main thing is wanting to. And one guy said it this way. He said, if you don't feel willing, ask God to help you be willing. And anytime that you're in... See, Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn. When people, you know, he said, blessed are they that mourn. they should be comforted. All right, if you got a problem you want to solve and you fail every time you try to solve it, just cry out for help. That's mourning. Lord, I need your help. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't see what to do. I don't know what I keep failing. And he'll help you. Now, I said earlier, a Christian, they can sin. They sin if they want to. Sometimes people have a habit. The difference between being a sinner and having a habit, the sinner can't help it. But when you, because you're born again, you don't want to. Some things you just don't want to do. It's kind of like what Paul wrote in chapter 7. He was being tempted. Every time he tried to do right, he had trouble. Now, chapter 7 and chapter 8 should have been one chapter, because 8 is the solution. Life in the Spirit, that's what he wrote in chapter 8. Now, to a person that's born again, they love God, and then they're challenged. And the challenges don't come from God, they come from the enemy and the world. But life in the Spirit is how to solve it. See, love is spiritual. Sin is death. And the law is given to expose our sin to us, and also to help us see Jesus. So when you have Jesus and you're trying to fulfill the law, all you have to do is walk by love and you automatically fulfill it. And that's what the Lord was relaying. The Lord needed a representative here on earth to show man how God is. Sometimes people still think that God, they still believe in salvation by works, even though Jesus died to save them and they believed on it. They're still trying to please God by their works. And I want God to be pleased with my works, but I want my works to be a blessing to man. It's more, I want to be a blessing to people. And I want God to use me like a tool in his hand to be a blessing to people. And I'm motivated. But I'm not trying to buy his love. He already proved he loved me. I'm just trying to do what I'm supposed to. And Jesus said, work while it's day. The night comes when no man can work. Well, it takes time for people. Sometimes it takes time for people to get on board with what God is doing. And they need accurate representation. So I'm motivated to do all these things. Lord, I need you. And then he helps us do all these things. My throat went out. So in chapter 5, verses 23 to 48, he's talking about practical sincerity. And then there's another one. This practical sincerity, it showed people that they were adjusted to salvation by works. I'll do this and God will love me. Because way before Moses came, all the religions on earth, you had to serve the gods. They served gods. And these gods would, if you made them mad, you wouldn't get rain. So their understanding of God was just warped. It was warped by Satan. And so in modern times, there's always a carryover from something that happened a long time ago. And here's one of them in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The word is full of it shows you a lot of carryovers from those old days. And people still trying to practice salvation by works, or they're trying to buy God's affection. And Satan hates it because he knows that if anybody loves God sincerely, they're going to have authority over him. So to the proud mind, he put poisonous thoughts in their mind against the ways and knowledge of God. Because he don't want people to know who they can be in Christ. He don't want people to know how strong they can become and how he also don't want them to know how much God loves them. So if he can keep man confused, he won't have to fight another Jesus. Everybody that loves Jesus and will do what he say, they automatically have authority over Satan. And Satan can't do anything about it. When you tell Satan to stop, he's got to stop. There's nothing he can do about it. He got to stop his actions. So in 2 Peter 2, he said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So this is why people will persecute you falsely. But don't take it personally, because the enemy is using them like a tool. You know, they lack knowledge. They don't know the Lord. They don't feel what you feel. When you get saved and when you're born again, you feel connected. You have peace and joy. They don't. Now, when I was growing up, until I got almost 20 years old, my parents had God's peace. My parents had God's joy. They preached it. They lived it. But I didn't have it. And I couldn't have it until I got born again. I got born again in May of 83. In June the 10th of 83, I was 20 years old. So right before I was 20, 3 weeks away, I got born again. Now, the first thing I felt was God's peace. And the devil spoke to my mind saying, if you get saved, you're going to be bored. I said, I don't care. This is right. From that moment, I've never been bored. That's a miracle. That's not normal. Christian people do get bored. But I have never been bored since that moment. And that moment, I had his peace and joy. And I got upset. I said, how come people didn't tell me it was like this? I got mad at my parents. I got mad at Christians everywhere because they didn't make it real to me. And they can't. Well, the Lord spoke this to me. He said, the same devil that hindered you from getting saved hindered them from showing you what it's like. So I'm raised in a wonderful pastor's home. And there's nothing wrong with him. He did his job. But he thought that I was like him. Children put on a good act. Children act like they're supposed to around their parents. I didn't do nothing crazy around my parents. And, well, for the most part anyway. But they probably thought I was a Christian. I would have went straight to hell. But the moment I got saved, then I had peace. And I didn't want that peace to ever leave, and it won't. But I know what it's like to be disconnected. When you're disconnected, you can feel good, you can laugh, you can sleep at night. But when you're in the kingdom of God, you're connected to him spiritually, and you know it, and you feel it. And even on the worst days, you still have peace. Even on the worst days, if you want it, you still have joy. And I wrote a song about that. Because people need to know that. And they don't. If you get on a bus and you sit by two or three strangers, one of them never been born again, one of them been born again, and one of them been filled with the Holy Spirit. The one that's never been born again, they don't know what you know. They don't feel what you feel. The one that, and I lived 6 months before I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I know what that's like. But when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I had strength. And so this is available for everybody. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. When Peter said that your sons and daughters will prophesy, that just blows the religious mind of the day. They were only used to the kings and the priests and the prophets hearing from God and prophesying. But now their sons and daughters. Then he said, your servants. Now that really blows the religious mind, and it still blows the religious mind. So when people get saved, they get changed. When they get changed, they're connected to God. They have peace. They can do what the word said they can do. They have all the rights and privileges of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, it's the Father's good will to give you the kingdom. You don't just get a life insurance policy. You get the kingdom of God. You just got to learn how to operate in it. Your prosperity. When Peter let Jesus use his boat, Jesus blessed his business. Now, Peter was doing fine as a businessman. He wasn't hurting. Fishermen made pretty good money. But because he let Jesus use his boat, Jesus blessed his business. When ministries are doing the will of God and operating in obedience, and you help them because you want to help others, you know, you want to live obedient to God, and you want to be a blessing to other people. Anything you do, God will bless it. When people tithe, some people tithe because somebody told them to. But when you have a revelation of it, you're going to be blessed. And if you do it right, if you got things against others, or you know if somebody's got something against you, go deal with that. And then God will receive that tithe and he'll bless your life. And so I've heard some people, they can't wait to tithe and give offerings because God, they're doing it right. They're doing what God gave them. And they have a revelation of it. And they're doing it because they love God. Some people are doing it because somebody said do it. Or somebody coerced them to do it. And it's not the same. So that's why Jesus pointed out in verses 23 to 48, he's dealing with practical sincerity. Love people that don't love you. Love people no matter how they are. And sometimes people know that they were rude. They knew that they didn't like you and you loved them anyway. Sometimes they'll get saved and become your best friend. That, you know, imagine Apostle Paul. He was putting Christians in jail. Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. Why are you persecuting me? And he wasn't persecuting Jesus personally, but his people is the body of Christ. And he said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And Paul said, who are you, Lord? From that moment, he became born again. He became a living soul. And he became an asset to the kingdom of heaven that blessed everybody that heard him in his day and also in every generation since. We're still studying his words, his writings. So when you give your life to God, God will take it and do something wonderful with it. You don't have to be the best planner. You don't have to be the best businessman. You don't have to be the best person in the world. You just yield to the Lord and he'll work through you. And he'll cause you to do what he needs you to do. Because you've entered into the Father's love. And with God, all things are possible. So, but the way of truth will be evil spoken of. Now, back in 2 Peter chapter 2, he said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, and denying the Lord that bought them. So these ones, sometimes people that are Christians, they go rogue. They go back to the ways of the world, and they become leavened and bitter in their heart. And it says that they deny the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Because the judgment will fall on people that hold the truth and unrighteousness. Now, like I said earlier, a Christian can sin if they want to. But anybody that practices, if sin itself, if you sin, it becomes your master. And it also takes away your appetite for the things of God. So it happens slow. And then it says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Sometimes people talk about others, and that's always wrong. even if it's true, there's no reason to speak negatively about people that God is trying to correct. And if people follow me around all day, they'll find things that I don't do perfectly, you know. And sometimes people get bitter and they talk about it. So when ministers talk about other ministers negatively, that shouldn't happen. Sometimes there's somebody that become bitter and they talk about them. And it can look real. But sometimes it's an oversight. Sometimes it's something they never cleared up. But they meant no ill. And so instead of dealing with it in a godly way, they do it in a satanic way.